This is the Apple This Extra.
Hello and welcome to Apple Viz Extra number 58. Dave Nason is my name and I'm joined in the co-host chair by Thomas Domville. How are you today, Thomas?
Hey, I'm pretty good, Dave. It's good to be here again. Thank you for having me back on. It's good to hear your voice.
Always a pleasure. And you've had a busy couple of weeks, so I hope you're all recovered and ready to go.
And I am. I have moved to a new house and internet isn't so great, but we're getting back together.
Great stuff. And we are delighted to be joined on this podcast by two developers from App A11Y or App Ali, depending on how you want to say it. The developers behind such games as Dice World and Haboodle, hugely popular games among the Apple Viz community. We've got Nick Barbado and Lee Hobbs. Thanks for joining us, guys. How are you guys today?
Doing great. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Hey, Dave. Thanks. Great to be here.
Fantastic to have you. So I suppose the starting point would be, in your own words, tell us who you are, what you do.
Dice World started 6 years ago now. It's crazy. It's been out there for 6 years. Originally started as another company, Pangea Games. Had one partner with that. He kind of had to go a different direction. So he still is part of our company, but in a very small role. So let me jump back a couple of years ago. Decided to start App Ally and focus on creating social games for the blind and sighted to play together in the same spirit as Dice World. And we kind of had to start from scratch because Dice World I had with another partner. So Lee joined up with me, and we've been working full time on it for a while now and came out with Haboodle. We have big plans for that one to keep adding games to it. But at the same time, we were able to acquire Dice World, made a deal with my old partner where we, kind of just formed a bigger team, merge everything together, and then kind of incorporate the games together as well and make one larger company that can provide bigger, better things going forward. So now we're able to put more effort back into Dice World, where it was kind of lacking over the past few years, as well as Haboodle, and just ramp them both up and make them as best as we can. So that's the plan going forward.
Great stuff. So you're all under the one roof now and able to put more resources more efficiently, I suppose, together, yeah.
I think the best way to put it. So now we're able to work on everything. I mean, the team didn't get any bigger, but what we can work on got broader.
Cool. Shall we rewind back? Was it 2013 we first encountered Dice World? Is that right? And how that kind of game came about, and particularly, you know, the involvement of voiceover and, you know, bringing voiceover players on board.
Yeah, so we came out, I think it was late 2012. Crazy thing is, I mean, we still have players who signed up that first week still are playing today. It's kind of nuts how long people have stuck around, which is great. The first month when Dice World came out, the first month, we got an email from a lady who still plays today as well. And she just thanked us for making the game kind of accessible. It's just, and I really didn't know what she was talking about at the time. So I reached out to her and she explained that she was blind and she was able to kind of play the game, which meant she could kind of navigate around. Some of the buttons were labeled okay, where she could figure out what was going on. This was in the beginning, we just had Farkle and Pig and Yahtzee. And I think it was probably Pig that she was able to play. I mean, there wasn't that many buttons on that one and she was able to get through it. So anyways, after talking with her for, I don't know, we traded emails for a while, I started digging into what accessibility was, what was possible with voiceover, and that was just the beginning of it. We just dove all in on voiceover and doing everything we could think of. I started playing the game with voiceover on and the screen curtain on, and just trying to make the game as fun and efficient as possible for everybody. And it's worked out. I mean, there's always something more we can do. We're still looking at new ways in Dice World and Haboodle to make it more efficient, more more of a level playing field for everybody. Apple's always coming out with some new stuff, and Droid is getting better every day at what they do, too. I mean, they've taken huge steps with TalkBack over the last 5 years. Yeah, I mean, it was just that one email that started it all off and got us interested in it, and we never looked back, and that's where we're headed. That's kind of our goal now, is just to keep creating games that everybody can play.
Nick, I'm curious now, what was it like to when you first found out about it and you turned our voice over for the first time? Was that like an alien world to you? I mean, were you pretty freaked out about how that worked, and or was that something really cool? You fascinate you?
Well, both. I mean, it was frustrating because I didn't know how to do anything, and I think I was stuck in voiceover. I didn't know how to get out of it.
That's but awesome.
It still blows me away. I mean, I've talked to you about how, like, people like you or others will send in, like, just an audio broadcast of what they're playing if they run into a bug. So they'll just record it for me and send it in. And
you have to try to figure it out by in the dark, trying to figure out where we're at and what we're talking about half the time.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just what amazes me is how fast they're playing through the game. I mean, you're playing faster than anybody who can see the screen. All the top records out there are held by visually impaired people. It's crazy how, and I can't play it. I mean, I get audio recordings and everybody has their settings at 100%. So I got to play it a few times to figure out what the hell voiceover is saying, but I got to play it a little slower on my side.
And so, yeah, it was, I did look it up. It was not really found by the visually impaired community until about 2013. That's the entry that we have on AppleViz. I think when people first start to take off with Dice World was 2013. But that's fascinating that you guys have been out since 2012. So, oh my gosh, that's a long time ago. It seems like it's been a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, really, to think about it.
Yep.
Apple world's changed quite a bit, and it's still surviving out there, so that's nice.
Absolutely. Not too many games last, you know, stand the test of time. So, and it's still talked about. We still see posts on Dice World, you know, on Apple News as well. Was it a huge programming challenge then for you, since, you know, voiceover was something you weren't particularly familiar with before you got that email?
I mean, yeah, it was a lot of work, but at the same time, it was the emails we would get were, you know, usually don't get those kind of emails when you're a software developer where people actually send you an email saying, hey, thanks for what you do, and this is great. And we still get those emails today, which is awesome. It's 20 years of a career where every email you got was almost a hate mail. This is much more rewarding and better. And if we can somehow squeeze out a living doing it, then all the better.
And do you know, actually, I don't know if you even have stats on this, like, would there be what kind of percentage of your players are visually impaired or are voiceover users, I suppose, or can you track that at all, out of curiosity?
Yeah, I think the last count in Dice World, it's probably between 35% and 40% are voiceover users. Haboodle is probably 90% voiceover users right now, because we don't have the advertising budget, or we're trying to get all that in place right now to do some cross promotion between the games, but there's still a low amount of users on Haboodle, and most of them are from the AppleViz posts or some tweets. So everything's organic, and I would say that's probably 90% voiceover, which is kind of good right now, because then we get all the feedback on how to improve voiceover, and there's a lot of chatter in the forums in the game on voiceover, so everybody openly talks about it, and we try to make that as good as we can while we have the audience.
Yeah, absolutely, make the most of it. And so it seems you've got a pretty good loyal kind of user base for your games within that community.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about Haboodle then? So Dice World was your first hit. The second big hit is Haboodle. So do you want to tell us a bit about what that game includes and how it came about?
Well, I mean, the idea was always to... We had Dice World and we thought about Card World and some other things. And then just decided, why not have just a one-stop shop where people can come and chat and play games and use the same in-app currency across all of them, not have to go in and out of other apps and log in and out, and just put a bunch of different flavor games in there. And we've tried to structure it so we can keep adding games. There's really no limit to the number of games we can add, and eventually you can just hide the games you don't want to play. But that way you can always just log into Haboodle and play what you want, and the same, your same friends list will be there, and your same stats and your same currency balance and all that kind of stuff. We just wanted to simplify it. And also, the more games you have out there, if we decided to put a game in each one in its own app, then it's just a maintenance nightmare, and updates take forever, and all of a sudden all you're doing is just maintaining App Store presence instead of actually working on the game and adding to it. So it's kind of worked out so far. It's kind of hard to market Haboodle because you only get so many keywords, and we've got games all over the board, so we're still trying to work that out.
Yeah, up to 8, I think, now, isn't it?
Yeah, 8 games in there.
Yeah, I was going to ask how many games there were now, and those games are a variety. You know, it's not all the same type of game, which I like about it too. And I've always said many times on these podcasts, the one thing I love about the Haboodle was simply just the fact that it was all one stop shop and all the currencies in one place. And that was the biggest thing for me. So if I purchase something from you, I can play any of those 8 games, and then some, if in the future you decide to put out. What made you pick those particular games? Were they just more popular, or were they just easy to use, or just whatever you had access to? I didn't know if there was any predefined reason why you chose those games as you did.
I don't know. I mean, we would get suggestions from people on what they would want. But, I mean, the suggestions are kind of so far all over the board. It would take a suggestion, and then it would see what we thought we could pull off.
And this is Lee. Honestly, like, when we pick a game, we are always kind of thinking with accessibility in mind. You know, games that would be easy to make accessible. But last year, there was that kid, I think he was in the Netherlands, who won. He was blind, and he won a few games in a Street Fighter tournament. And so that was kind of an eye-opener for us. So we're kind of looking into some other things now that kind of been expanding our horizons, and hopefully, you know, add some more complex or just games that we didn't even think were possible.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I remember when I had sight, I remember playing Street Fighter, and you guys know that's a visual challenging game. I mean, you physically have to know where your opponent's coming and how to do your moves with the joystick and stuff. So it totally blows my mind too, even to this day, that someone like that, and there are many of them out there, there are gamers that do have Xbox and things like that that do play games like Street Fighter, where it's just all visual, but there's a lot of audio cues that they must use to be able to play these games. So that is just absolutely fascinating. So that, yeah, there is no limit. It's just a matter of just certain cues that we can pick up from that can help us to achieve the game just like anybody else. Really, and I guess it kind of gives you a whole new perspective on how we can play games and how we are able to play games. So that's got to be quite challenging for you guys.
Yeah, at the same time, it's I don't know, it's kind of fun trying to figure this stuff out. Like Lee, he's a creative guy, and he's writing this adventure game right now. It's going to be all written completely from scratch. And then, I mean, it's kind of a, you know, one of the, I guess, Oregon Trail type games where it's all, you know, north, south, east, west, where you're going, that kind of thing. And then incorporating like 3D sounds in it so you see where you're going and you can hear from certain areas. And we're just trying to figure all that out. It should be cool, and if it all works out.
Sounds fun. Anyway.
Yeah, is that going to be an audio game, or is that going to be like a text turn-by-turn kind of game?
Well, it'll be audio and text. I mean, it'll be so sighted and impaired people can play it, but I think instead of just a text game where you're reading it, we want to have real immersive sound, so it's like you're so it's kind of like telling you a story and you're living the adventure. That's the way we want it to be.
Oh, that's awesome.
We don't want it to just read off, you're next to a door. We want it to make it sound like you're standing next to a door.
Yeah, that's going outside of your box that you guys normally do. I mean, you guys done this dice games, you guys done this a couple of casino games, word games. So this is something different for you then.
Yeah, definitely. And if all goes well, once it's finished, we'd like to port it over and make it kind of our trial for Amazon, make it an Alexa game.
Oh, cool.
Wow. That is really cool. Okay.
It's just in the talking phase right now, but that's where we're headed, or where we hope to be headed.
I mean, it makes sense, especially for what we do, that we need to be kind of the front runners out there on the Alexa market.
Hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Do you guys play any Alexa games?
Do we play the Alexa game? I do, yes. I play quite a bit Alexa game with my family. We do, I know it sounds crazy, we do Jeopardy, Price is Right. There were an audio game that came out recently. If I just put my finger on it, it was Jurassic World. It came out with a little story base where you can choose your path, and so you just say it out loud. They'll give you an option. You tell her which option you want, and then it starts playing. It's a fun game. So pretty cool.
I've played one or two. I played one of those sort of choose your path games, and I've played a few quiz games as well. Yeah. They are a bit of fun when you've got a few minutes to kill.
Yeah, I'm looking into getting at least a skeleton version of Dice World. We wouldn't have all the bells and whistles of Dice World, stats and all that stuff, but it'd be nice if people could go onto their Alexa and, just take, I want to take my Farkle turns and take your turns, that kind of thing.
Wow, so you're thinking about taking your whole shebang with you. So you're thinking about taking Dice World to the Alexa level?
On some scale, yeah. I mean, everything's in the cloud. We've already got everything set up, so it's just as much as taking a turn through the phone or through the Alexa. We just need to figure out the simplest way to do it and what all would need to be ported over. But I think, it's just a natural progression of where things are going right now.
That is amazing. If I could take you guys back a little bit, back to Hubital, I did have one particular question I know that we were wanting to ask you about, and it's just kind of get back to where the committee was talking about. Now, there's different kind of flavors of programs that you guys got on Hubital, and it's quite noticeable. I think it's called the Unity programming. And can you explain to our users what Unity is and why it's so different? And for those that are listening, I am talking about, as you guys have played Hubital, and if you have not, you'll learn a lesson here, is that some of the games he has on there, like the casino games and stuff like that, are extremely voiceover accessible, which I will say Unity is as well, but at a certain point, you're able to just flick around and stuff. So Unity is a whole new kind of an interface. It's like Crafting Kingdom, if anybody's played that. It uses the same engine, I think is what they call it. So explain why some of the games are kind of weird, like the
Word Builder, I think, is one of the Unity ones, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, Word Builder, trivia game,
Ludo.
Ludo's a Unity game. So like Dice World is built on native iOS and native Android, which means it's a completely different effort on both. Completely different build, different code base. One's built for iOS, one's built for Android. So that's the way Dice World is. Hubital is a mixture of the native iOS, which is the word search games, blackjack, poker. Is there another one? That might be it. Anyways, and then the
battle
other one is Unity.
Your battle cap.
Yeah. So Unity is a development platform that allows you to code in one language, and then it will build for both iOS and Android. So we can build a game once and then put it on the iOS store and the Google Play store, and we can put it on a desktop. We can put it on a Windows phone if somebody had one of those. Now, Unity itself isn't compatible with VoiceOver at all. So there's a person who wrote Crafting Kingdom, and she actually wrote a plugin for Unity that allows you to take your Unity code adapt this plugin by adding a bunch of different hooks within your Unity project, and it makes it accessible. So VoiceOver will pass the. It seems a little delayed, and it still needs some work, but it passes the gestures through to the Unity, and then Unity passes it back to the iOS VoiceOver to read back to you. So that's why it sounds a little bit different. We've been working with her, and she's great. She created the plugin. I mean, it's an amazing plugin. And we just have been working closely with her for specific changes for some of our games and expanding it. And I mean, that's pretty much it. So without the plugin, a Unity game is not accessible. And even with the plugin, it still takes quite a bit of work to make it work. There's still a lot of good changes and good improvements that we can make using that plugin to fix a lot of the things that people get irritated with. I mean, it, like you said, it doesn't work as good as iOS VoiceOver. I mean, iOS VoiceOver is really slick, and we're trying to get as close to that as we can. At the same time, using Unity gives us a chance to put that game out on Android, because the plugin will also adapt over to TalkBack. Another one of our efforts is getting all these games over on Android. We just don't have the resources, manpower to do it right now. So we've got a lot of these games that are just about ready to release on Android. They're just not quite there yet. And that's because of the Unity platform. So, I mean, overall, it's a good thing. And it will get smoother and faster. It just has some quirks to work out.
So essentially, Nick, what you're saying is that you're using Unity because it's cross-platform. You can use on iOS and Android, where the native API on the iOS is strictly just for that. So you would literally have to write two separate software. Is that my understanding?
Yeah, so if we wanted the trivia game over on Android, it would have to be a completely separate rewritten trivia game on the Android platform, written in Java, and then the networking to the cloud and all the user syncing and everything like that would have to be written again. So Unity allows us to do that once for that game.
Okay.
And then release on both stores. I mean, Hibootle right now, it's only on iOS. So it started out as just a native iOS app, and then we incorporated the Unity games into it. Okay. We'd like to do that on Android as well, but we're probably, the first step is going to be all the Unity games that are in Hibootle. Hibootle. You got me saying it.
Well, that makes sense now, and I am glad you're saying that, because there's a reason why I'm bringing that up for everybody here that's listening, is because the reason I even brought up Unity and things like that, so you guys would understand why it's different, why it exists, and why you have to do it this way, and that's the focus point I wanted to make about the Unity. It is something different. It is a little different to use. I have not tried this at all, but I am curious, have you had any complaints or anyone asking if is Unity capable for Braille displays?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I would imagine, well, I don't know, but I will look into that. I'll talk to the plugin creator and see if she's even tested that. Unity itself is not, because Unity itself is not accessible. So any Unity games out there, if you run a Unity game and it hasn't been modified, all you see is like one button on the screen. No matter what's going on, it just looks like there's one element on the screen.
How big is Unity? I mean, in terms of software development.
Huge.
It's huge. Just used in the mainstream, like right across, like a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's all the big
Unity. There's two major engines, isn't there? There's Unity and one other one. I can't, which name escapes me.
I had no idea. So this is kind of an educational thing for me too. And then it's good to know this, because now you, Nick, and this other gal that you've been working with have created a plugin, you said, to make this VoiceOver accessible for those mainstream Unity. So is this something that anybody can use as a plugin?
Me any of the credit there. She created the plugin, and we've just been working with her for our needs over the last year, and we've kind of added to it. But she's the definite creator and gets all the credit. I mean,
awesome. That is awesome to see that becoming more mature, and that is really awesome. I love this.
I suppose the main difference people would notice using it versus VoiceOver is probably that you don't explore by touch. It's a purely gesture based. Is that right?
You can explore by touch, but it's not as responsive. So that's some of the complaints we get, like a double tap won't always work. I mean, because the way it's written is the taps are timed. So it knows, okay, there was a gesture, and then how many milliseconds later was the next one, and we're trying to tell if it's a double tap, single tap, and what gesture is going on. And if the timing's not right on the double tap, so if somebody does it maybe too fast and the plugin doesn't pick it up. I think people are kind of picking up the timing on it as they play the games, but in the beginning, you get some complaints, hey, double tap doesn't work, what's going on? It works over here in this other game, which happens to be the native iOS app.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's definitely not
I think I sent that one in myself.
Way to go, Dave. I've seen that too. And I'm trying to think about it. And it's got to be a nightmare for you guys because it's all about the timing, like you say. And as you say, I do that too. I think we are just a lot quicker on things. So we tend to tap and double tap very quickly. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what I've been telling anybody that's been asking me. I just say, unfortunately, you have to slow down. And when you do slow down, it does work really great. I mean,
that's it. You do get used to it pretty
right.
You
know, and I can't use a Tux Explorer unless you really. It just seems to be a lot faster just doing the swiping. It's just a lot faster doing that.
Yeah, I would say the same. I think just swiping to get to the different elements seems to work best for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, all that being said, like always I tell you, Thomas, when you send something in, I mean, ask what you want for, even if you think it's completely impossible, because you never know. I mean, it could be, we could add our own gestures. We could remove gestures that are a pain in the butt. We can create new ones. I mean, if you got an idea on how to do something better, even if it hasn't been done, let us know. And if it's possible, we'll do it. If it's not possible, we'll try to do it.
No, Nick and Lee have been a great, they're one of the best developers I've ever worked with in terms of listening to us. And so if you guys out there do have any complaints or suggestions or better yet ideas how to make it simpler, definitely let him know. There's been many times I asked Nick, I said, I don't like this, and he goes, okay, I'll fix it, and the next thing I know is out. So he does listen. So it's appreciative you guys get your feedback to him.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that they're just kind of stuck with the way everything's initially developed, but I mean, things are definitely not perfect when you put them out there, and there's always room for improvement. And if you wait until it was perfect, you would never see the light of day.
That's it. Without feedback, you'll never know what's working for people and what's not working for people. So,
yep.
Any plans for more games for Hoboodle, or are you allowed to reveal that at this point?
Yeah. What is your future plan for besides Alexa, which is a big thing because a lot of people out there are Alexa fans. And you guys mentioned something about you're working on your Android side, so that's awesome. You just released what? Hangman? Hangman just came out last month?
Hangman was the last one that came out. We've been focusing on updating Dice World on Android and iOS with all the Facebook news that came out over the big analytics scandal and all that stuff. Facebook changed a lot of their rules. We've had to update everything that has to do with Facebook. So that's been a lot of work. That's all just wrapping up right now. We're trying to find better sponsors that are, so we can keep things accessible. People keep getting stuck in the apps when an ad pops up that they can't exit. Over the years, we've tried to reach out to every advertising platform, letting them know. I mean, all you got to do is give us a close button that works or something.
Okay, so you're talking about the
so we decided
free coins. The free coins ads, you were talking about how people can earn free coins and the sponsors, they have to listen?
Right.
Okay.
So now we're trying to just take all that in-house and advertise cross-platform through our own games and stuff like that. Working on that adventure game, we've got a couple other games. We actually sent out a survey a while ago on Twitter to get people's feedback. Some simple games. The one we're most excited about is the adventure game. And then also getting more content out there for Android. I mean, I wish we could have it out there. We just need the time to work on it.
Okay. Yeah, you guys got a full
plate. I'm trying to herd all those things together.
Yeah, you got a full plate. Now, I am curious now that you're working on all those, are you thinking about ever putting Dice World within Hubital, or are you going to keep that separate?
Well, we thought about it, but I think, I don't know. It depends on how the performance would be and how bloated the app would be. I mean, people don't want to download a 500 megabyte app.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's something, I will probably integrate the two somehow. It won't be the game within there, but maybe you'll get your updates and maybe your stats and cross-currency and stuff like that. We'll try to do as much as we can to keep the communities together. We just added in Hubital, a boodle. We just added a Dice World chat room so people can invite and say, hey, you know, my username is so-and-so playing in Dice World. So there's a forum out there. If people play Dice World, they can talk to each other.
Well, I kind of like the way it is categorized. I mean, I like Dice World. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't know what anybody else, I'm not sure what Dave thinks, but, you know, I kind of like, you know, these are the dice games. If you like dice game, come to Dice World. If you like this type of games, come over here. But, you know,
yeah,
you're right. I wonder when it'll come to the point where 8 games become 12 games to 15 games. When is the size going to be a limitation, and when is the choices are going to be too long? You know, I don't know what that answer is, but yeah, it'll be a challenge for you guys to figure out.
I was going to ask that as well.
Yeah.
When, like, at what point is too many games, you know, is there too many games in one app, even in terms of, you know, maybe load times or, you know, the
file size.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the way we've done it is, I think going forward, all the graphic assets are going to be reused across the different games, just in different ways. So the app size really shouldn't get that much bigger. Now, if we put Dice World in there, Dice World's already big because of all the assets that are included, so that would probably double the size right off the bat. But if we add games to Hubital, it really shouldn't get much bigger. And as far as making it seem bloated and too many lists or too many choices, we're kind of thinking you can have, you know, there's certain games you don't play, then you just, in your settings, you hide it so they're not available to you. You can look at the categories you want. Some way to really make it simple, just to see what you want when you open the app.
Hmm.
If you're not interested in a whole genre of games, then they won't even be there for you.
Yeah, I like the hidden factor.
Yeah, that could work very well.
Mm-hmm. I can see the hidden factor work real well. That way you can always see the games that you want, and you don't have to sort through every one of them. Now, I got to ask a tough question now. And now, I've had people contacting me, and for a while there, I didn't know what the story was. And so, because there are a few people out there that do know what I'm talking about and will be talking about, I wanted Nick to have a chance to explain what happened and why it happened that way. When Hubital first came out, one of the biggest complaints we got was the fact that only one game, right, in which it was Word Battle or Word Search, Word mm-hmm. War, right? Is that right, Nick?
Yep.
And that game,
Word Search game.
It was the only game that did it this way. All other games, like the Blackjack and Poker and Ludopalooza, all those games didn't do it this way. And I think people got the misinterpretation that all the games were, if it detected that you're a voiceover user, you only play against voiceover user. And it did cause some little uproar in the community by some people, and did not like that. The voiceover community wanted to be able to play with other players that are not visually impaired. So they are sighted people that can play against nine-sided people like they do on Dice World. And so I want to explain what happened there, Nick, and what game that happened to, and why it became that way, and if it still exists today.
Well, so in the word search games, there are two ways to play the game. So like Dice World, you think about it, it's a turn-based game. You take your turn, and the other person takes their turn. Now, in the word search game, there was either a timed game or a live game. Now, the timed game, anybody can play anybody. It wasn't only voiceover against voiceover or sighted against sighted. I mean, you could play anybody because somebody got to take their turn at the game, and then the other person got to take their turn at the game, and there was no, they weren't playing at the same time. In a live game, a voiceover person and a sighted person would be playing the same game at the same exact time, finding the same exact words. So that's when we said, well, that's just not fair, because it just wasn't fair. It wouldn't work. So if a sighted person was playing and can see the screen, they could find all the words much faster than a blind person who has to feel the screen. So it was only for live games, which is about probably 3% of the games. Time games was everybody against everybody, and any other multiplayer game is everybody against everybody. So it's a very, very small subset. And the reason we did that, I mean, in beta testing, people were furious because they were just getting smoked. So I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah, makes sense to me, if I'm honest. Because a fully sighted person can look at the whole grid in one go, essentially, you know, and they just scan it. You can scan all the letters on screen much faster than a voiceover user who has to kind of gesture through the whole grid.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah, there is a difference on that type of game. So essentially what you say is that because the unfairness of how the game worked, and it was time-based game instead of a turn-by-turn, you were based on time, and for those that are visually impaired, it would take us a little bit longer than those with visual. So you separated the two. So I'm guessing you have some sort of a detector that detects that, and then it only pairs you up with other voiceover users. And that's only for now, since you took World War out and it now bundled in with Battlecats. Is Battlecats the only one that does that?
Yeah, it's only Battlecats, and it's only the live game where, like, you and I would be playing at the same exact time. I find a word, and then it shows up on your screen that I found it.
Okay. All right, so you made that decision based on the beta testing. You found that actually, really, not only we were getting smoked, but the blind or the visually impaired people that were doing the beta testing asked you to do that because we felt that it was unfair.
Well, we've got a lot of complaints how unfair it was.
Okay, so essentially, you know, to our listeners, I wanted to bring that up as well because there was a lot of confusion why, you know, they did that, and there was a reason behind it, and it was during the beta cycle, so when it came out to the public, they were unaware and did not know the story, so which is one of the big reasons why I wanted to have you on, so you can explain what happened there, so you guys aren't. The story isn't being told differently than it has been out there. So thank you for explaining that to us.
If people are upset about it at all, I really didn't know anybody was upset about it. If they are, we can just have a setting where they can play anybody. I mean, it's fine with me. I have nothing against that.
Oh, okay.
Again, though, it's only probably 3% of the games. Most of the games, like word search games, are the, you know, you play the game and then the other person plays the game and then it compares the stuff. Could easily make it so it's a setting so everybody plays everybody, or we could just change it across the board. I mean, it's just whatever everybody wants. I'm not married to any idea.
Well, that's great. I mean, I'm glad that you said that. And so if those that are listening that do like to have that option, please contact them and let you and Lee know about it so you guys can make that change. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just add it to the list. We'll put it in there. It could be in settings.
One other element of your games actually that stands out to me is the social side of it. So there's a lot of kind of interaction between users, there's kind of, you know, forums almost within the apps themselves, and, you know, congratulating each other and, you know, tables, score tables and all that. Was that always something that's important to you in gaming? And is it something you've always done in all of your games?
Yeah, no, I think that was one of the cornerstones of Haboodle. Was when we started it, we wanted to make it as social as possible. And they could tell you that he kind of discovered it through Dice World, because when they added chat, it kind of exploded. And so we kind of learned from Dice World and wanted to build on that.
I say, trying to give everybody any different reason they can to come back to the app every day and invite their friends to it.
Oh, definitely. Any avenue that you can do to bring people, if it's the game or if it's the chat, social aspect of it, there's many different options on the game itself that makes it very compelling, which I love about the chat feature. You can actually talk to your friends in a group or by one-on-one, or they can chat with you, actually, that I saw, Nick, and they can also leave their feedback through that chat, too. And I like how the first screen where it displays just your friends, so if you want to see the stats of what your friends are doing and how well they're doing, I really like that feature, where before it had everybody, and so I do like that feature.
It's great to have a bit of competition between friends, isn't it?
Definitely.
Cool. Yeah, any other ideas that'll work, let us know. We're always, we got to do something to get more users. So any ideas you have?
Great stuff. And I'm sure after listening to this, people will be bombarding you with emails, hopefully. So
that's good.
So Thomas, do you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, actually, it's been awesome experience with just Dice World alone. I mean, my gosh, you guys made it to the AppleViz Hall of Fame. You've won the AppleViz Golden Apples Awards for Dice World. And so you guys are very respectable. People know who you are. It's really cool to see it grow up along that you're coming out with the Hue Beetle with a new company. And then you guys recently obtained and... I don't know if it was a purchase, but you obtained Dice World, so it's now under the same umbrella of the App 11Y. And so I still use Dice World on a daily basis myself. Hubital I do as well. And it does offer a lot of variety of different games for people to try, which is the cool part about Hubital. There are a variety, and that's what makes it compelling and really cool to use. Along with the social aspect twist to it. And it's great to hear the story behind how you guys got Dice World and why that came about to under your umbrella. And most of all, to hear all the future plans you have. So for those that had not only used the iOS device, but have an Android tablet or maybe an Android device, it's going to grow bigger for Hue Beetle, what it sounds like. And most of all, a lot of us are using the Amazon Echo. I'm really excited about that. A lot. The Amazon Echo is definitely something I'll be looking forward to on top of any new games you come out for the Hue Beetle, like your adventure game. I'm excited that you guys decided to grow outside of your box of introducing a audio game. That is going to be a game changer. So there's a lot of people that love these audio games. So putting that into your pocket as a game to use, I think that's going to only help you guys out. And of course, we're going to love it and soak up whatever you guys can give us.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait to see all these further developments on what's already a really cool game.
Oh, no doubt.
And Thomas, as well, just to call out your podcasts you've done on Hubital, where you've gone through the app in general, but you've also given guidelines to some of the specifics around some of the games as well. So I'd really recommend people check those podcasts out on applebiz.com as well.
Yeah, and those are also accessible through the game. So thank you so much, Thomas, for doing that. That was a huge help.
Oh, you guys are very welcome. It was a pleasure doing it. And any way to help the users out to be able to use the game, that's what it's all about. I love when I have families and friends on there and playing with me. That's the whole point. So I love doing that, and I'm so grateful that you guys were able to take my podcast and put it into your app itself to use for many, many people so they can understand how to play the game. I appreciate you guys answering some tough questions. I know those were some things you may not were aware of or heard about or anything like that, but I was very fascinated by the story of the Unity and why you guys chose the Unity and some of the decisions that were made for Hue Beetle. So I think that's going to not only help, but definitely clear the smoke out in the pair community so they can understand what's going on. But if you guys have not played or picked up Dice World of Hue Beetle, it is in the App Store. It's free. That's the best part about it. You can play for free. There are some in-app purchases if you can't wait to build up enough coins. You can purchase coins in advance and get the coins you need, or you can build up your coins with Zola. I like this a lot because you can just buy one set of coins and it works for all the games within the Hubuto itself and the Dice World. Of course, if you buy anything, it only works in the Dice World, so it's not cross-platform, right, Nick?
Right. Hopefully in the future we can get all that tied together, but right now it is not possible.
Okay. That's awesome.
Well then, I think all that's left is to thank you both, Nick and Lee, for joining us today. It's been a really interesting chat and learned an awful lot. And yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. It was fun.
Thank you. It was great.
Great stuff. And thank you, Thomas. And thanks to everyone for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AppleVis Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.applevis.com. Follow us on Twitter @AppleVis and like us on Facebook.